Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk. Isaiah 55 we're up to. A few new people in the room, I know, and we've been chugging for the last couple of years through the book of Isaiah. We finally got to Isaiah chapter 55. And wow, what a chapter it is. I love these verses. Wonderful verses that are, of course, on the back of Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 54, when everything changed because God made a way for a rebellious, sinful people to be made right with him. All we have to look forward to is the pain and suffering and affliction and punishment that comes from a life of sin. That's our destiny. That's our future. Unless God made a way out of that. Praise God, God made a way. Listen to these beautiful verses that we looked at a couple of times ago. Remember, this is written 600 plus years before Jesus. Surely he took our pain, bore our sufferings. We considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And what's his name? We know that now. As Isaiah spoke those words, he looked forward to this Savior, this Messiah that would come and take all the affliction and all the pain and all the suffering and all the punishment that sin results in on himself. How amazing is Jesus? He's beautiful. And it's described in the most dramatic and remarkable way in Isaiah 53. God's made a way. It's the perfect life and death and resurrection of his son Jesus. It's our message. It's the message, isn't it? It's the message that everyone must hear. The message that this nation must hear. Every school pupil, every person must know that message. That God's made a way. And on the back of all he's done, he's called us, his people, to make an earnest appeal on his behalf. To come to Jesus. Come and be forgiven. Come and be made right. Come and live with all the benefits of someone whose sins are forgiven. I love this scripture, and I love it because it's like a great invitation. They must come. Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what's not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what's good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Chapter of unprecedented favor. This amazing, earnest invitation from our God to come. And you might know this, but the picture is of a water carrier coming into town. Before running water in the villages of Israel, they would rely on a guy like this guy, who in ancient times would come into, is that picture there? There we go. Coming now. Oh, anyway, a guy with a leather water carrier on his back would come into town, and he would actually go, "Ho, ho, ho, anyone thirsty?" Like a sort of ancient ice cream van. They would hear the noise in the background. Except without this guy, they were stuffed. It was all over. In the baking heat of the Middle East, if the water carrier didn't arrive in town, they were dead. And he would come into town, and in the ancient version, the King James version, Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone who's thirsty." And there is a cheesy old chorus. "Ho, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water." You know that song? No, you don't. But it is there. Tim knows, he's old enough. "Ho, everyone who's thirsty." And the guy comes into town with a leather water carry on his back and a little tap. And you give him a few shekels, and suddenly your family can drink again. Your family are safe and secure, and the thirst is quenched. What a picture of our God. coming into Manchester. Ho, anyone thirsty? Ho, anyone thirsty? Come to the waters of life. Except this isn't just water. This is wine, milk, the richest of fare. And this isn't just water you have to pay for. It's free. It's a free gift. All you've got to do is be thirsty. Two lovely things happened last week to me. Last weekend, I was preaching at this Bible by the Beach conference. And before I got up to speak, I was backstage. And all this kind of Christian bookshop paraphernalia was there. And I'm waiting to get onto stage. And I saw this little thing. Have you got that picture? Not that one. The next one. This little thing right on the side. Slightly kitsch little wooden thing. Tiny little thing. And however, my daughter at the moment is really seeking God about her future. She really feels the calls to missions, especially missions to the poorest of the poor. And she's really praying and starting to push doors. And I saw this thing, and of course it says plans. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I thought, oh, that would be nice for Beth. And then I thought, nah, it's a bit tacky. It's a little bit. And then I looked at the price, $7.99. I thought, nah. I don't like her that much. No, I do. I do really, Beth, honestly. So I picked it up and I thought, nah. And then I had this thought, you know what, Lord? If I'm meant to give that to Beth, if she's going to be blessed, I want someone to give it to me. So I walked around with this thing to the Christian bookshop and I said, can you tell me how much this is, please? She said, $7.99. I went, okay, thanks a lot. Put it back on the shelf, right? Well, I thought, yeah, it's not right for Beth because I just, you know, she might not. I don't know, it just didn't feel right. So, and I said, Lord, if I'm meant to give that to Beth, let it be given to me, right? So then I went on and did my preach. Good time, lots of young people came to Christ. Walking out of the venue, 2.5 hours later, this woman comes running after me. You know what? I'd like to give you this. I'd like to give it to you. And I'm like, you know, that is so God. And I could say to Beth, that is so God. That is so God, Beth. God's got plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Our God's the God with a plan, isn't he? Not just for Beth, but for each one of his sons and daughters. God's got a plan. It's a good plan. And then Nick came back from South Africa, and we'll hear all about the wonderful things that went on in South Africa. But while he's there, he was telling me about some of the story. He said, he had this guy come up to me. Slightly funny, shy guy. But he said to me, oh, God's going to give you a tremendous season of open doors. And Nick was like, yeah, thanks. And walked off. And the guy ran after Nick then and said, no, this is the word of the Lord. God is saying to you, God is giving you a tremendous season of open doors. When you get back to England, like, you need to hear this, boy, right? So, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Who was this guy? And Nick said, I don't know. He's a funny little shy man. But I don't know, but he just said it. And I know open doors has been a big thing. And I said, oh, and he said, I've got a picture of him. Here's the picture of him, right? You know who this man is? This is the man who prophesied over me and Michelle. Now, you need to join in the adventure here. But last time we were in South Africa on our last day, we had this awesome prophetic word, the strongest, most powerful prophetic word I've ever had in my life from this man who hears the voice of God. He came up to my wife 3 years ago today. You know, we were still reeling after Michelle had this terrible accident and nearly died in Bangkok. Chiron doesn't know any of this, right? He doesn't know anything about Michelle. And he said to Michelle, just randomly, never met her before, Satan had a death plan for your life. Satan tried to take you out. But God's done a wonderful work of healing. And how true is that? And he said, 6 months ago, there was an acceleration. Absolutely. Bunch of leaders gathered to pray. There's an acceleration. And today it's all lifted. Today brings it through and all this stuff. And then he said, and oh, by the way, God likes your painting. I mean, who is this man? He's a man who hears the word of the Lord. And you know what the word of the Lord was? God's given us a tremendous season of open doors. And that is now the fifth time that God has brought that word to the message. Starting with John Bunjo. Something broke when John Bunjo said, you need to go away and seek the Lord because this is a year of open doors. We went away, and from Isaiah 60, God said, the gates will open and no man will shut them. And then myself and Jamie, just before Christmas, met a guy called Jonathan Conrath, who's preached the gospel all over the world. And he prayed in tongues for about 10 minutes in my office at the end of our meeting. I said, let's have a little prayer time. You know, it was like, we bless you, you bless me. Instead, it was, Sharabakusanda, you know, going on for 10 minutes. And then he said, the Lord says, the Lord's opening a door that no man can shut. Revelation 3 verse 8, the Lord says, I'm opening a door, opening a door, opening a door. Now, John Bunjo said it. We've had it from the scriptures. This amazing man says it. And then I went away a month or so ago with a bunch of leaders and John Glass, who leads the whole Ealing Pentecostal movement in the UK. We were floating around Lake Windermere. I get all the hard gigs on this boat with all these leaders. And we were praying for the UK. And then we prayed for one another. I prayed for John, and John prayed for me, and he said, you know, I don't normally get pictures. I don't, but I've got a clear picture for you, Andy. And it's you, you're running down a corridor, and it's a corridor full of open doors, and every door you run past, it flings open. You don't even have to push them. I can see you going down this corridor, and doors are flinging open. Anybody excited by this? God's bringing us to a season of open doors. Tremendous season, and it's doors that are going to stay open night and day. The Lord's opening a door that no man can shut. And once we come to the Father, once we come and receive His forgiveness, once we're hungry and thirsty for Him, what we experience His plans, His will. The food we need is to do the will of God, nothing more. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it? Don't you love that, those scriptures in John chapter 4? You know, the disciples are getting a bit flappy the way I do with Pastor Komoloffi. I mean, is this guy ever going to eat? He's always fasting and always praying and always seeking the Father's will. The disciples said, come on, Jesus, have a bit to eat. Rabbi, eat something. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. I have food you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of the Father. Doing the will of the Father satisfies the soul like nothing else. We're moving into His plans. Plans to give us a hope and a future. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. The bullseye of His will. That's joy. That's the richest of fare, isn't it? That's the passion of this ministry, to be at the center of His will. And on the back of getting to that place, the will of the Father, comes the blessing of the Father, the favor of the Father, the season of open doors. As we get urgent and desperate, as we listen to His voice, come, 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 we join in. We join in the great invitation. We get earnest about the great invitation. There's a great passion. It come doesn't really do it justice. It's like, will you just come now? Please come, 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 come. It's the great invitation of God to all people everywhere. Come to the waters. Why would you go after anything else when I've got the waters of life? When I can feed your soul with the richest of fare, why would you want anything else? There are some things that will only be revealed to thirsty, hungry people. God responds to desperation. He always has, and He always will. And we need the favor that's for hungry and thirsty people. Do you want to know open doors in your own life? Do you? Do you want to know open doors for resources and relationships so you can fulfill His will? When you stand like me before lots of crowds of people, you know, large crowds, small crowds, it's actually quite easy to tell. I might get it wrong sometimes, but it's not hard to tell who are the hungry and thirsty ones. You know, when I stand before the message team on a prayer day or on a Tuesday morning, or when I'm in that prayer room on a Tuesday lunchtime, it's not hard to tell who are the hungry and thirsty ones. It's not all with the loud mouthed, you know, people dancing around. I can just tell who's hungry and thirsty. I may get it wrong, but God knows. And there are some things that are only for the hungry and thirsty ones. Some people come into prayer days like, oh, it's just my job. And actually the whole body language is like, I've actually got something better to do. Some people rock up late for a Tuesday morning. They're like, eh. You know, but there are some people like, I'm gagging for God. I'm desperate. Hunger and thirst is like your deepest, deepest need, isn't it? And you're the ones whose soul will be fed with the richest of fare. I mean, how desperate can you be? And listen, I'm saying this because I don't go. How desperate can you be to give up all night every Thursday? How desperate are those people who spend all night in that prayer room every Thursday? I mean, they're gagging for God, aren't they? They're hungry and thirsty. But do you not think they're going to be filled? Do you not think God's going to meet them? Who do you think God wants to bless? He wants to bless us all. He wants to bless everybody. He died for everybody. But the eyes of the Lord are ranging the earth looking for a heart after him, a heart fully committed to him. I've got excited about the idea that so much is available to the thirsty, to the hungry. And just before we finish and we sing a couple of songs, maybe songs of desperation, songs of crying out to God, saying, I want more, God, more of you, so I can do more for you. But I want you first and foremost. Three things about God's favor from Isaiah 55. First thing is, you don't need resources. It's easy to think, oh, I'm launching this ministry and I must get the right level of personal support, or I might get the right level of finance. All you need to do is just get the will of God. Seek the will of God. You don't need to be in such a flap. I mean, I'm ashamed that in such a flap I get about our finances. 6 weeks ago, I was like, it's going back so fast, it's all over. Here we go. I'm like thinking, you know, can I still do this without a salary? Walking down the beach in South Africa thinking, perhaps I don't need to get paid, God. You know, honestly, I'm thinking this. And I'm also thinking, who's first to be laid off? No, I'm thinking these terrible, fearful, stupid thoughts. As if God's not for us. But we've sought the will of God. He's confirmed it. He's brought it again and again and again that this strategy of salt and yeast in the toughest places and bold, unashamed proclamation, it's his thing, as if God isn't going to give us all we need to fulfill his will. God, help us to chase after your will, not the money. It's a free gift, this delightful, joyful, peaceful walk with God. It's free. Don't you want it? Just a free man. Somebody walking with the shalom of God. You don't need resources. You don't even need to work for it. Why spend your labor on what doesn't satisfy? Couldn't that be written over the whole of the UK? Why spend your labor on what doesn't satisfy when you can have God? You can have the rivers of living water flowing into your inmost being. Every other religion involves hard work, doesn't it? Whether it's praying 5 times a day, pilgrimages, fasting, sacrifices, you never know whether you've done enough. Just get hungry, get thirsty, walk in my plans and his faith and my favor. What a gospel. What a gospel. A lovely thing happened at Bible by the Beach. As well as doing the youth event and seeing loads of kids commit their life to Christ, I did this sort of old school Bible thing. It was a bit out of my comfort zone because my former youth leader, who's now a bishop, invited me to do it. He was trying to get me to do this conference for 7 years. And I was actually booked in to do it 3 years ago. But Michelle had her accident. So eventually I got to do this conference. So maybe there's about 1,000 people, mainly with grey hair and a few blue rinses. But generally not the normal message gig. I'm doing this Bible reading and they asked me to speak about Acts 16, the gospel goes to Philippi. And I'm talking about Lydia. In Acts 16, the seller of purple linen, she was a successful businessman. She had a big house that the early church could meet in. And purple dye in Jesus' day was very, very expensive. So she was a wealthy lady, successful lady. But the Bible says she was a worshiper of God. And then it said, but she needed her heart opening to the gospel. And she had this discourse, this discussion with Paul. And as I'm just preparing my heart, sat like 6 seconds before I'm due to get up, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do an old school salvation appeal. Even though this is like Bible by the Beach, it's like Keswick Convention sort of, old school Bible thing. So I got to him a bit in the middle and I said, you know, I just feel the Lord may want me to do this. You know, we've all come to a Bible, we're hungry, but maybe you're a worshipper. You sing the worship songs. You know the scriptures, you can discuss the scriptures, but you've never really opened your heart to Jesus. You've never really given your heart to Christ. You don't have that relationship. What a terrible thing. Sam said, I'm going to pray a simple ABC prayer, surrender your life to Christ. So I prayed this simple ABC prayer. There's no ministry team or anyone around, and it's all kind of a bit, ooh, what's he doing? So I said, I want you to go into our message stand, and I want you to collect a book. If you've given your life to Christ today, well, three older guys then went to see John at our message stand in this kind of Bible conference saying, I've given my life to Jesus tonight. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Just a life of trying to do it by works. A life of trying to go to the meetings and the Bible conferences and sing the songs and try and live right. And you're doing it in your own strength and it's a burden. Suddenly you get the free gift. You come to the waters of life. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to go to Bible by the beach. You're free next year. And feel if I can just get enough Bible knowledge, maybe I can get there. You might well want to go, but you're free. You're flying, you're soaring. It's a different thing. Is it good? Is it good? It's glorious. You don't need resources. You don't even have to work for this gospel. The price has been paid. All the work was done on the cross. All the labor we do is in response, not to earn his favor. Beautiful. And the third and final thing is it lasts forever. Give ear to me and come, listen, that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. We're not playing games when we do this higher thing. It's an eternal business. We're not playing games when we move people onto these estates, you know, to live long term and bring transformation. It's eternal. There's nothing more important. The way we live has eternal consequences. Sometimes we need to wake up, don't we? We're going to live forever. Only what's done for Jesus will last. There are people there, people will meet, people will rub shoulders with today, who are living with a terrible affliction and punishment and pain and suffering that comes through being a sinner separate from God. That's not the way it's meant to be. And we've been charged. Yeah, God says, come to me. But he says to us, go out with that message. Go, get that message out there, because anyone who receives it, their soul can delight in the richest of fare. They're gagging for something, and what they're gagging for is Jesus, the rivers of living water. We've got time to sing one more song. Can the band come back? Can we just let's stand together. God, make us desperate. Desperate for you. Desperate for you. A hungry, thirsty movement. Coming to you and then going to a world in need with your great invitation. God, thank you that we get to partner in this thing. What a privilege. What an honor, Lord. We're for you. Thank you that you long for our soul to delight in the richest of fare. You give us the best, Lord. And it's free. How amazing. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.